what this song could use? Some clave, a little Latin rhythm. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today we learn to bailar el mambo as our Dance Craze series goes Latin. Plus, the unbelievable success of a little song called the Macarena. And singer-songwriter Santigold stops by with her long-awaited second album, Master of My Make-Believe. But first, throughout the 20th century, there have been waves of loosely defined Latin dance crazes sweeping through New York City and the rest of the country. The rumba, the merengue, the cha-cha-cha, and, of course, the mambo. Joining me here in the studio is bandleader and percussionist Bobby Sanabria and dancer and choreographer Nydia Ocasio. Bobby, Nydia, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
Let me ask you both, when we say mambo today, do we mean the same thing that people meant when they said mambo back in the 50s?
No.
Really?
Mambo really is a style of dance. I mean, and also a style of music as well, which Perez Prado, you know, Xavier Cugat Orchestra, you would hear that very with the brass section and very jazzy and everything. But it was very, you know, uppy, very fast. So actually the mambo, there is a style. And it's dance on the one, on the beat. But it's...
Oh, you're going to go right to that thing.
Right. No, well, actually, it's on the timing. So it's bop, ba-da-da, ba-da, ba-ba, ba-ba, ba. It was that fast. Mm-hmm. So, of course, all you could do is da-da-da-da-da. And it looked a little bit like...
It looks a little bit like Bruce Springsteen, that step that Bruce Springsteen always does on stage. I swear, because I remember Nydia was giving a master class before a performance I was doing at
Lincoln Center
Out of Doors, and she gave a beautiful, in a very short amount of time, she covered like a lot of history of dancing, mambo, and how to dance on one and two, and she gave that whole background that she talks about the up-tempo, Perez Prado style, and it was hilarious. I go, oh, man, Bruce Springsteen, he doesn't even know it. He's dancing mambo.
I want to come back to the dancing on one, dancing on two thing, because that seems to be a kind of a long brewing controversy in the mambo world. But you've both mentioned Perez Prado. Who was he?
Perez Prado, his real name, well, that was the name he used, his stage name, but his real name was Damaso Perez Prado. Fantastic pianist. In terms of style, for you listeners that are fans of jazz, he was like the Thelonious Monk of Cuban music. Very quirky, very jaggedy in his solo style, but he had very defined ideas about what he wanted to do using brass, and he wanted to write really in the upper register of the trumpets. So the orchestras that he worked with in Cuba kind of frowned upon him. His ideas were very far ahead of their time. But basically, mambo horn writing is different layers between the trombones, the saxophones, and the trumpets all intersecting at what you mentioned, the clave, which is this, the mantra of Cuban music. So you might have a layer like this. Mambo, 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 que mambo, mambo, mambo. Another layer. Mambo, 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 mambo. Another layer. Mambo, 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 mambo. So that, mambo, and then all intersecting.
That clave is going under all of that.
And that's percolating. The percussion has to adhere to that, the piano, everything. But when it all comes together, you get this wall of sound that just envelops you on the dance floor and makes you go into ecstasy.
And turned out to be hugely successful in this country in 1955 when that very same Perez Prado hit number one on the Billboard chart for 10 weeks with this song, Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White. We'll be right back. hugely successful hit song for Perez Prado. Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White, number one in the spring of 1955 here in the States. And the mambo craze was in full swing. And in our week-long series looking at dance crazes, we are talking about the mambo and the various waves of Latin dance that came through the States. Bobby Sanabria, the Grammy-nominated percussionist, bandleader, and composer. His latest album is called Tito Puente, Masterworks Live. Nydia Ocasio is a salsa and Afro-Cuban dancer, choreographer, and instructor. Nydia, Bobby did a good job of explaining the music, you know, the different layers of horns and that clave rhythm underneath the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Where does the mambo dance come from?
Cuba. Mm-hmm. Cuba.
And
cha,
is it built?
Cha, Cuba.
Right. And does it come from like the rumba or?
It's how, you know, when I saw, I mean, I had gone to on an educational tour to Cuba and back in 2003. And even though way before I even went there, I was already working with Cubans here, all various styles of their salsa. And they explain, they break down the different, what is mambo, how it's traditionally danced. Of course, cha-cha-cha, all of that is old news to me because we've been doing it here. But when you're learning with them, you see that what we were accustomed saying, oh, mambo, and we were dancing on the offbeat, which people call here dancing on too, we were not dancing mambo, we were dancing son montuno. So the mambo...
An older form,
which comes from the danzón. And it's on the clave beat. It's on the clave, but it's the conga rhythm pattern that is very common here, and it's played repeatedly. It's where the clave resides quietly when you don't hear the clave rhythm.
That's Bobby. Probably worth pointing out is that sometimes we talk about the clave. It's always in the music, but there may not be somebody physically playing that.
Those two sticks that are, right. that are the engine
sticks.
That drives the
music. Sticks, yeah.
Talking about Son Montuno, we have to talk about one person, Arsenio Rodriguez. Who is, it's his 100th birthday this year. And Arsenio holds the same position in Cuban music that Louis Armstrong holds in jazz. Mm-hmm. He was transformative. Without Arsenio, you don't get mambo because he started the multiple layering with the trumpets. Mambo is a Bantu Congolese word. It's a West African word. It means a chant or a song that repeats over and over to communicate with the gods. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're doing on the dance floor. So despite the superficial commerciality of the music, the way it started getting mega popular in the 50s and what you might see on Dancing with the Stars, there is some deep spirituality
right.
to it. In terms of the and way we played in New York.
And as with all things spiritual, lots of people arguing over the proper way to practice that spirituality.
Well, when you're talking about dancing on two, It's a little bit more sophisticated than dancing on one, simply because that older style, Son Montuno, was sophisticated and was urban. But when we see
Ralph Cramden and, you know, the rest of the Honeymooners gang dancing the mambo, they're dancing to Tito Rodriguez. They're dancing to one of the Mambo Kings. Are they dancing on the one or on the two?
I didn't see that clearly.
You haven't seen that?
Ralph is doing a parody of what mambo is. So it's the thing I must say about the way we took Cuban music in New York, Puerto Rican musicians and African-American musicians and Cuban musicians, everything that would come from Cuba, we hippified in one way or another. And we're talking about the music, Tito Puente, Machito, Tito Rodriguez, super jazz-oriented, very highly sophisticated, and the music and the dancers followed in that realm. Also, the early mambo dancers here were Lindy Hoppers. So they incorporated the gymnastic types of moves, the style, the panache into mambo. So it's a beautiful thing the way we dance here
and
in New York.
What I wanted to say about that's when you see people dancing mambo, I mean traditional, the authenticity of the mambo, it looks a lot like Lindy Hop because they do it. I saw this choreography when I was out there where they're tapping on their little toes and they're just coming up with a little jump in their body, which looked a little bit like Boogaloo too.
And
then it's shifting the foot from one side and crossing and then kicking. I said, wow, that looks like Lindy Hop or, swing.
Right.
That's what it looked like, swing.
Which we covered in our series on Tuesday. If you missed it, check our audio archives at wnyc.org/soundcheck. All right, so you guys have gotten us to the period where I think it's appropriate to talk about the Mambo Kings. You've already, Bobby, mentioned Tito Puente, Machito, Tito Rodriguez?
The Holy Trinity.
Where and where would you go to worship this Holy Trinity?
Well, on West 53rd Street and Broadway, the Palladium Ballroom, which lasted from 1948 till 1966. A retired Jewish tailor that had gone to Cuba, Maxwell Hyman, opened this great place, and it was our Mecca for all those years. Parenthetically, one block away from the home of progressive jazz, Birdland.
Yeah.
So it was very common to see Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, and any number of musicians, Max Roach, go to the Palladium on their breaks, check out what was happening, sit in, and the Latino musicians would reciprocate. So it was a great time period. I don't know if it exists again, but music still exists. We're here talking about it, so that means it's still alive.
And here are some clips from the Mambo Kings, beginning with Tito Puente and Mambo Con Puente.
Qué bueno está mi mambo.
Para bailar,
mambo, 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 mambo de la mambo landia.
Tito Puente and his Mambo Con Puente. Another of the so-called Mambo Kings was Machito with his group the Afro-Cubans and Mambo Jumbo. Machito and his Afro-Cubans, they had a lot of good results with that song, Mambo Jumbo. And the third of the three Mambo Kings, Tito Rodriguez and his orchestra with El Mambo Hop. Tito Rodriguez and his orchestra, El Mambo Hop. And I want to first of all say that famous Honeymooners episode I alluded to before, they do dance to Tito Rodriguez in that episode. Nydia, you mentioned how a lot of classic mambo dancing sort of draws on the swing dancing, the Lindy Hop. This is El Mambo Hop.
There you go.
Kind of proves
your
point.
Yes, absolutely.
And so what do what are you listening to when you're dancing? I mean, there's all this talk whether you dance on the one, dance on the two. How are you?
Well, the beauty of my experience in dancing was that we just danced very naturally. And I think really, I always say that my dance studio was always the clubs. And my instructors were the musicians. And I think that was the difference now than then is that we had the exposure of being exposed to live Latin bands, that this give and take, this feedback that we were feeling from the band allowed us to dance very expressively on the dance floor. So a lot of that emotion, because that's what it was, this emotion. So typically, I mean, when we didn't think of, are we dancing 1-2? It just didn't exist. What allowed us to be guided by the musician was the cowbell. And the cowbell was always going, ding, ding, tuku, ding, tuku, ding. And guess what? That's on the one beat.
Mm-hmm.
So we just naturally swayed side to side. And then it's, okay, now we got to move around. So we started moving around. But we were moving around on that simple rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Then I know somewhere between, I would say from the late 60s, early 70s, somebody said, hey, they're doing this dance. It's called the Palladium Style Mambo. And I said, Palladium Style Mambo. And then I realized that there was this slow and quick, slow movement. Did I know what timing? I just went right along with them, followed it. But when I got more and more involved with it, where I started to now train or perform and rehearse with different Afro-Cuban musicians and dancers, I started to realize that offbeat fell where the conga rhythm fell, which is the where the song and son montuno is always
so
that.
So this is on the two.
On the became on the two, the yeah. offbeat, and which is why I prefer referring it to that. When you hear it now, when people say on two, to me, I think what happened is they try to attempt to do what we were doing, but they weren't getting it right because even though they were teaching on their on two, but the body was still moving on the one.
Yeah.
So that became...
It's a kind of a natural thing. You know, we want to be on... We want to hit that beat. Yeah, we want to hear that hard
but
one.
But it's even with the dancing on the offbeat, there is a body... The body moves differently than it moves on the one.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with the dancer and choreographer Nydia Ocasio and with Bobby Sanabria, the Grammy-nominated percussionist, band leader, and composer. He'll actually be performing Saturday with the Multiverse Big Band at the Players Club here in Manhattan. And on Monday night at Joe's Pub with the New School Afro-Cuban Jazz Orchestra. And Bobby, where did you first start seeing, you know, mambo dancers? I mean, is
at
it
home.
Just yeah? Is it just like wherever the musicians are, the dancers are like immediately there? Do they
right,
just go hand in
but
hand?
But it starts at in the home. I mean, the music was played in the home. We many of us, Nydia included. She's from Brooklyn. I'm from the South Bronx. She's from South Brooklyn. Our parents are Puerto Ricans, and we had house parties.
Mm-hmm.
I learned
how
the first dance step I ever took was on my grandmother's feet. She was visiting my mother's father. My father's mother came to visit us, and we were having a house party. And I'm just sitting there. I think I'm 4 years old, and I'm just watching. She comes over in Spanish. What are you doing here, sitting here down? I go, why don't you dance? And I just shrug my shoulders. Come over here. She puts my feet on her feet, and all of a sudden we're dancing. We're moving. So and also, I must say, the music was very vibrant in the 70s in New York City. The whole salsa explosion. You heard conga drums in the summertime mm-hmm. all the time in wherever there was Hispanic neighborhoods in New York.
You also had the height of salsa. You had the Fania All-Stars and
exactly,
all of that.
Exactly,
I experienced
yeah.
that.
And so when people say salsa nowadays, are they talking about basically the same dance, the mambo dance?
Actually, it's salsa means sauce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a condiment of all this beautiful music coming together. And normally when we say, oh, let's go dance that salsa, we're referring to the Latin music that we're listening to. It's not where people sometimes try to say, oh, when you dance on one, you're dancing salsa. When you dance on two, you're dancing mambo. No. The word salsa just means sauce. I remember Tito Puente said that. It just means sauce. It's a condiment of, you know, of those beautiful music, that beautiful music coming together.
If you want to get more sophisticated, you know, obviously there are certain styles like guaracha, mambo, son montuno, danzón, cha-cha-cha, mm-hmm. which we didn't touch upon, but the cha-cha-cha
well,
is one of the
hippest
dances.
Well, we got one of your cha-cha-chas to wrap up with
oh, okay,
today.
Great.
The Alegre cha-cha-cha from Bobby's album Tito Puente Masterworks Live. We've been talking about mambo, the Latin dance craze that swept the country in the 50s and really never went away. And whether it's on the one or on the two, whether you call it mambo or salsa, it seems to be here to stay. Nydia Ocasio, Bobby Sanabria, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck.
Thanks for
the
opportunity
to
share this music with everyone. Thank you.
Up next, we fast forward to the 90s mega hit that just wouldn't stop, the Macarena. And then later, we talk with the songwriter and producer Santi Gold about her new album, the long-awaited Master of My Make-Believe. This is Soundcheck.